The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Line on Man in Line today. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, whatever's on your mind today, the floor is yours. Just following on from yesterday, we were talking about geothermal energy on the Isle of Man, and I mentioned the name of Graham Foxhume, and Graham was on Man in Line 2-3 years ago talking about the possibilities on the Isle of Man, and Graham dropped me a note just to say thanks for pointing out the advantages of geothermal energy for the island. As a long retired geologist and geophysicist, I've pushed for this for a long time, as I think the Isle of Man is ideally placed to take full advantage of geothermal and achieve long-term energy independence. Don't forget, onshore wind farms would make the Isle of Man uninhabitable due to subsonic vibrations, and offshore create no-go areas for fishing and kill protected bird species. So it's bye-bye to that projected puffing colony. Says Graham. Well, if you've got any thoughts on that, I mean, apart from the fact if you work for a wind farm company, you'll say it's rubbish. Or if you're selling solar panels, you'll say it's rubbish. You see, in the middle of all this are we, a kind of ignorant lay population. We don't know. What we know is we want electricity, we need electricity, and we really don't want that much fuss about it. I mean, hitherto, we've had a power station chugging away in the background, the old diesel one, and now we have the gas-powered one, and we use electricity. But now we're promised all sorts of things with offshore wind farms, onshore wind farms, solar arrays, this, that, and the other. And all we want is electricity, probably, and hopefully at less than 29p per kilowatt hour. So if you've got any insights, any shafts of insight that you can tell us about, then by all means do get in touch. I just want to touch on this sidecar issue for TT, because we had lots of comment on it yesterday. A sidecar competitor says it's gutting that the sidecars won't be able to race in one of the most iconic road races in the world. Greg Lambert was reacting to the news that the Southern 100... yesterday said they're excluding sidecars from the racing event at Belown next month. Greg says the news has been severe on the sidecar community.
I've spent over 30 years competing in the Isle of Man at the TT and the Southern 100 road races, you know, and we plan all our year and financial things and everything. It's a massive contribution and effort to come here in the first place for all teams, and we're absolutely gutted as racers that we haven't been able to race on the, you know, the most iconic road race in the world. It's like missing my first one, you know. It hurts even now after 34 consecutive years for myself. But I mean, I brought a newcomer this year that it was his first ever year, and it's just like amazing to think what he thinks of it. He's mortified, but we've got to look at the bigger picture of why it's being stopped. And fundamentally, I agree with the organisers that it needed to be stopped, because you can't put people at risk. Looking at the footage of what actually happened, then safety's paramount.
Now, in layman's terms, for those of us who aren't experts in building sidecars, what exactly is the issue?
Well, it's a number of things, really. I mean, the Isle of Man TT is all about lap records and speeds, and racing's about winning and everything else. And everybody's, as a racer, is hot-blooded who wants to win, so they're going to do everything in their power to have the fastest, lightest, quickest machine. Well, you're on the roads. The roads are completely different to short circuits. You know, the lightest, fastest thing isn't the most safest thing, should I say. The legend Dave Molyneux, and Dave always said to me many years ago, the best sidecar he ever had around the TT was his heaviest sidecar. And that means stability and staying on the ground. Well, we've gone the complete opposite way now. We've gone for lightness. Everything's about lightness. Yes, it's physics in racing. You get two light people like the Crows and Birchalls, and they've had the wins for the years, and the bikes have gone light, but that's not necessarily the right thing to do on the roads. You need strong machinery with weight to make these bikes handle and not to take off. At the end of the day, we all know the risk as racers. If we can limit some of those risks by having things more safety for ourselves, more structural, then that's the way forward. And you need to include the people that really know the history of what's been going on, the manufacturers like Dave Molyneux. People need to start listening and not just talking to hot-blooded racers that want to win races.
Well, that's Greg Lambert and his opinion of the situation now regarding the Southern 100, obviously, and TT as well. Any thoughts on this? Obviously, as supporters and as spectators, we won't know the ins and outs of what's gone on. But obviously, something's happened, hasn't it? Something has happened, whether it's progressively over the last few years or in the past 12 months. Something has happened, and obviously, it's causing problems. But if you think you know how to solve it, then by all means, get in touch. Or if you've just got an opinion, text, email, call, WhatsApp. Stella's with us now. Hi, Stella.
Oh, hi, Andy. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Off you go.
Yeah. Well, now this time of year brings back terrible memories for me of my late husband being in Nobles. Didn't die in Nobles, but he was admitted to Nobles on the 9th of June.
Right.
20 days later, he was dead. Right. But he died in the Cottage Hospital. He had 5 days of lovely care in the Cottage Hospital in Ramsey. So that just brings back really bad memories. Noble staff and the hospital were that busy fussing about these riders that had come off. Now, I've nothing against the TT really, but Connor had come off down on the veranda, hadn't he?
Yeah.
And Gary Martin had come off, and all they were worried about was them. My poor husband was stuck in a corner behind a curtain in Ward 1 with no dignity. And also the procedures he was supposed to be having were messed up. I could go on and on about it, Andy.
But did you raise this at the time, Stella?
No, I had the strength to raise it about, well, a year later.
Right.
Because, you know, when you have bad news and things are happening, you're in a bubble.
Well, it can be overwhelming, can't it, Stella?
Absolutely. It's like being hit by a bus, and you don't know what's going on. But I raised the concern about a year later, because for one thing, he was admitted, and we were just told that he had cancer in every major organ. And then we were shoved down to Ward 1. But there was nowhere to digest the information, no bad news room, no time, no privacy at all, to digest this information. But prior to him being admitted to Nobles, about 2 weeks before that, I'd sent him up to A&D because he wasn't well. And I couldn't go with him at the time because I was tied to work. And he phoned me and said that they're sending me home. And you know what they sent him home with? A urine infection, and he was riddled with cancer. Right. So now I'm gathering information at the moment of like people going to A&E and being discharged with symptoms. Just recently, a relative had been in A&E twice. Taken to A&E twice, but then they got an ambulance to take them to A&E, and he was put on a ventilator, life-threatening illness with pneumonia. Now, why hadn't they checked in A&E first, the first time he went? Why didn't he get a chest x-ray? It would have showed up. Now, he's on a ventilator. That's still on a ventilator. No, he's not. He's still out of it a bit. But this is happening all the time, Andy. People are going to A&E. They're getting sent home. Why aren't they triaged properly? Why isn't... I mean, everybody complains about Manx care or Manx don't care or whatever we like to call it. But at the end of the day, it's the residents on the island that should be looked after. We've paid all the money into the island all our lives, generations before us. So we're not getting what we should have. We're not getting the benefit of our hospital, which is the beds have been cut down to start with. The new hospital cut down 17 beds that were on the island. The cottage hospital is shut in. I mean, we all know why it's shut, because I won't say the word, but nothing was maintained, you know, in the cottage. And now all of a sudden, they've got to spend $4 or $5 million to get it back to how it... You know, there's... anyway, I could go on and on about it. You can shut me up if you want,
no,
Andy.
No, 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 it's important. It's important that you have your say, Stella, because obviously this is something that means a great deal to you. But obviously, your husband had good end-of-life care at the cottage hospital.
Yes, he did. It was wonderful. It was 5 days.
So,
and it was better than a hospice because we all lived near and they couldn't have done more for us. You know, do you want a drink? Do you want sandwiches? Do you want a bed? And they didn't have the facilities to give us that, but the staff were wonderful.
Do you believe, you know, at the moment, all the politicians always say that Ramsey Cottage Hospital is safe. They always say it's safe. And now they're coming up with a figure of £4 million to do it up. Do you trust the politicians to save Ramsey Cottage Hospital?
Not one bit. They're all trained to avoid any, you know, any responsibility. They can talk the talk. But that hospital was the old hospital was fine. It was an old building, but the add-ons to it, like Cool and Mary that I work for, were jerry built. They were, you know, just thrown up. We had a rodent problem in Cool and Mary, and they were getting in through the sewer and up the cavity wall over the roof space, and it was all covered up for years. You know, they were just jerry-builts at the time. Is that the word? Jerry-built.
Yeah, I think you're right. But anyway, the situation, your point is that the resident population needs to be prioritised, and sometimes the TT, if you think the TT gets priority treatment. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. They're getting priority treatment, yes.
Okay.
Yes. And, I mean, I'm Manx. I go back 16, 17 generations. But, I mean, we don't like complaining. I don't, anyway. You don't like complaining because you put up with it. But why should we put up with it? Why should we? Why doesn't everybody complain? They're all too frightened to.
Okay. Stella, we appreciate you calling today. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for talking today. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, and Andy, thanks very much for, you know, your speech at Wilfie's funeral. It was wonderful.
Oh, bless you. Thanks a lot. Thanks, Stella.
Thank you.
All right, 19 minutes past 12. Here's Adam with us now. Hi, Adam.
Hello, Andy. You all right?
Very well, thanks.
Great. I'm just ringing up about the announcement today that Douglas Corporation are not going to be investing in the Sunken Gardens, which I think is a mixed blessing, to be honest, because although I think it's very sad that they're not doing what they were planning on doing for the play park down there, where the paddling pool and the kiddies play park used to be. They were supposed to be putting a wooden galleon, sort of pirate ship, play frame for kids down there, and they're not going to be doing that because of the Devon Watson said it's because the sea defences, the Department of Infrastructure has withdrawn from constructing the sea defences along Loch Promenade, so therefore they're not going to be putting in the kiddies play park, the new play park, which is very sad because there is actually no kiddies play park at that end of Douglas Town. You know, the nearest one really is Nobles. There's not any, you know, for people who live downtown Douglas and people who are spending time on the promenade and families spending time on the promenade, there is no play park for them at all.
Do you agree with this conclusion, Adam?
Well, I think the government needs to take over, Andy. I think Devon Watson's conclusion, I mean, I don't agree with what Douglas Council was planning on doing to the Sunken Gardens, because, you know, Devon Watson has said today that the Sunken Gardens are vital heritage. Well, why did they want to destroy that vital heritage by revamping them all in a completely, you know, a style which was not in keeping? You know, if they're vital heritage, then it's the Italianate seaside feel to them and style, the traditional style of carpet Italianate promenade gardens that constitutes the heritage. So if they wanted to get rid of that, which Douglas Corporation did, then in what way why is he saying it's vital heritage? In what way is he, you know, he's destroying the vital heritage, isn't he? So I think from that side of things, I think, you know, in a way it's I welcome it that they're not going to destroy them, because they're perfectly lovely as they are. And I think, you know, if you look at it, there's so much I could say about it, but if you look at the drawings that have been produced, the artistic impressions, I think they're absolutely horrendous. I mean, I've tried to be positive about them in the past and see them in a positive light, but I mean, they just look, they don't show anything at all, really. They just show the planting all appears just to be a whole load of grass with the odd tulip scattered through, tulips scattered throughout the grass. And it doesn't show anything about the planting. Very poor indeed. Very, very little vision in there with regards to what plants could be put in or just anything, really. It's just very poor quality. They really have done it on the cheap and sort of taken the mickey out of a Douglas Council, I think, because they haven't, you know, you know, landscape architecture is supposed to build a model and things, and you take pictures of the model on the digital program, on the software, and that can be used as for artistic impressions. But just to do like a pen drawing and colour it in on Photoshop, you know, God knows how much they charge the corporation for that.
Yeah. You've got an academic background in this. You've studied this sort of thing. So from Port Jack to the sea terminal, what's impressive about Douglas Promenade? From Port Jack through to the sea terminal, what lights your fire?
The architecture of Douglas Promenade is very impressive, isn't it? I mean, it really is beautiful down there, and the sea and the beach. I mean, it is one of the most beautiful bays in the world, in my opinion.
But the promenade itself.
The promenade itself, Andy, well, it needs something doing to it. I mean, it's the lawns. They want to wreck the Queen's Promenade lawns. Why do they want to do, I've said it before, why do they want to destroy the best parts of the town? They should be investing the money that they're going to use to desecrate the best parts of the town into improving the worst parts. And there's plenty of worst parts in the vicinity of the promenade. There's so many fabulous things you could do with Douglas, you know, if you wanted to. And I mean, to be honest, Andy, they should put that play park in Douglas's council. You know, it should be Devon Watson. He's not doing very much. The Douglas Council at the moment, they don't do very much. They don't appear to be, you know, investing in anywhere or doing anything in particular. But they could put that play park in, and they could build the wall up. You know, the wall on the seaside of the Sunken Gardens. On the seaside of the play park, they could build the wall up. They could put a flight of steps on the landward side of it, banking it up so that it didn't fall down when the winter storms come. But Andy, with regards to the promenade as a whole, it needs to be done as a cohesive package. You know, the civil engineers need to do the sea defences, the landscape architects need to come up with a master plan, and then more detailed drawings can be done of the individual elements and the planting and the hard landscaping and everything else. You know, it needs the horse trams, the promenade walkway, the lighting, especially the walkway lighting on Lock Promenade and Queen's Promenade, and the gardens and the lawns. They need to be done as a cohesive package so that the promenade works from a functional and aesthetic point of view. And the other thing I was going to say...
Go ahead.
Sorry. The other thing I was going to say, I've been thinking about what's happened with Douglas Beach. And because I know I've got a bit of a background in geology and, you know, geotechnical as well as landscape. And the two sort of fit together quite nicely. And the Douglas Beach, if you look at the steps on Loch Promenade, the level of the beach has fallen, which is totally different to what's happened on Central Promenade, where the level of the beach has risen. And it seems to me that the largest stretch of water between the Isle of Man, you know, in the Irish Sea, is offshore from the Isle of Man, is the stretch of water which goes to Liverpool. So it's likely that the constructive waves which supply sand and sediment to the beach are approaching from the southeast, where the largest stretch of water is, across to Liverpool. Mm-hmm. And that will, you know, is blocked off. Their approach is blocked off by the Battery Pier extension.
Yeah.
So if no sediment can be supplied to the southern end of Douglas Beach, then there's no... You know, you would naturally get longshore drift along the beach for the sand to supply the rest of Douglas Beach. But instead of that, when you get storms, which generally come from the east, the most destructive storms come from the east, you get destructive waves, and they will actually remove sand from the beach, and they'll also push the coarser sediment, the stones and the pebbles, up the beach to form a berm at the top of the beach. So they're pushing the stones and the pebbles up against the walkway on Central Promenade. So you therefore get a drop in sediment, a drop in sand level on Loch Promenade, you know, on the seaside of Loch Promenade.
Right.
And the removal of sand from Central Promenade and the build-up of coarse pebbles and stones adjacent to the walkway. So in order to address this issue, they need to remove the pebbles and stones from Central Promenade, and they need to nourish the sedimentary cell, if you like, with sand from Loch Promenade in order to supply sand to the beach. Obviously, this problem was mitigated somewhat when there was groynes, because it helped hold the sand back from longshore drift in the direction of Port Jack. So therefore, it built up somewhat. But I think, you know, they could do it. They could do all of it. They need to get a geotechnical engineer involved to look at how the beach is changing. You know, they need a cohesive plan. They might want to build up the walkway. They might want to build the walkway at a higher level. They might want to use the sunken gardens as part of the flood defences plan and as part of the sea defences plan. But what they're doing, it needs to be cohesive, and it needs to be joined up. It needs to be aesthetically pleasing. You know, it really is a mess down there, because they've done all the roadway and that, which isn't particularly great. I mean, I like it in some places. I like it with the coloured paving stones and things, but it's not particularly great, and a lot of people have criticised it. But they need to get a cohesive plan, because having done that, it's wrecked all the walkway, hasn't it? The walkway really is a disgrace, and they need to do something, because it really is beautiful, Douglas Promenade. The bay is beautiful, the architecture, the Victorian architecture, and some of the fake Victorian architecture, which isn't really done anywhere else, is really quite nice, I think. So, and the horse trams and everything, it's a lovely environment, but they need to just rescue it and fix it and come up with a cohesive master plan based on what the engineers have done in terms of sea defences and sorting out the beach.
All right. Adam, we appreciate it. Thanks for calling today. Stay in touch. Thanks for calling.
Thanks, Andy.
29 minutes past 12. Frank Schwengel, you may have seen Frank Schwengel on social media as a social media commentator and a big fan of Man in Line. And Frank wants to keep the spirit of the TT alive. In fact, he said, we all need to keep the spirit of the TT alive. He's told Max Radio that he believes the event, the TT, is in danger of becoming too commercial. He's been immersing himself in the festival atmosphere, took lots of photos of Brad Pitt. What about that blue jacket of Brad Pitt's, eh? Filming content for the social media channels over the motor racing fortnight. Here's social media commentator Frank Schwengel.
I think it would be good if government would let the private sector and the people who run hospitality here and who've been involved with the TT on all fronts sort of lead that. I think it would be good, because when government tries to do things themselves, they're very often not good at things. That's why they're government. And it's better if, you know, the private sector leads and tells them what we want want and what we want to see, because at the moment we have 2 weeks that are very cramped, and we're going to see a massive influx for these 2 weeks, which there's a physical limit of how many people can come here. You know, we really need to try and keep the TT spirit alive as much as we can in this more cleaned up health and safety world. And it's a bit of a weird balance to bring, you know, health and safety into an event like the TT. But we have the opportunity here to do things our way, and only because that, you know, other events do things in a certain way doesn't mean we should adopt it all. We should keep this, what makes the TT unique, alive, because that's all we have, and long may it continue. This is so, so different that it's, you know, you can go here, you don't need a VIP pass for thousands of pounds to go to the pit lane. You know, you can just walk through the paddock, you can watch for free, you have this helpful spirit of the Manx people here, like especially now this week, the help groups are already lighting up with people. You know, if you need to use a dryer, if you, you know, need help, contact us. And that's what makes this event so different and so special. It's not just bikes racing around the course at insane speeds. It's the spirit around it. And it's this spirit that we have to protect at all costs, because otherwise it just becomes a faceless extreme sports event, and then we might as well pack up. So when we had Bushies down on the prom, and I was blessed enough to still see some of the crazy times, you know, when the jet quad was here and the purple helmets on the prom, and the times when we had 2 tents on the prom, and there was always something going on, that was the place to go every night. And now, and this is nothing against Bushies, you know, great place, and I hope they do well, but now with this TT Village, it's like a playpen for adults, right? You put them all in there, it's all nice and controlled, everyone's happy, you know, and so you may drink here, but you may not do anything outside of here, and, you know, it's all a bit too organized.
What do you think? Do you agree with him? Is the TT getting too commercial? Is it just the inevitable conclusion of the way the TT is? It's got to be monetized, got to be paid for, the insurance has got to be paid for, the infrastructure's got to be paid for. I just wonder what your thoughts are regarding the TT.
A new era of private healthcare on the island is just beginning with Clinique Savoie. Clinique Savoie is the island's first truly integrated private healthcare service. So from health checks to GPs, specialist consultations or connections to UK specialists, you'll experience care that's connected, considered and personal. From state-of-the-art clinics in Douglas and Ramsey. Take the next step in your guided health journey. Visit cliniquesavoie.com or call 68 2000. Thoughtful island healthcare experts. Delivered. Clinique Savoie.
Wellness doesn't have to be complicated. Sometimes it's as simple as wild swimming in crystal waters, walking cliff paths with sweeping views, or cycling quiet island lanes. On the islands of Guernsey, you can do it all. Across 5 islands that you can hop between with ease: Guernsey, Herm, Sark, Alderney, Liu. Each one is different, but all of them are a breath of fresh air. Reconnect with nature. Reconnect with yourself. Start your wellness journey at visitguernsey.com.
Corkhill Storage. Corkhill Storage. Call Corkhill Removals and Storage today. We'll store your goods day after day. Safe and secure around the clock. When it comes to storage, we do the lots. Click corkhillremovals.com.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Filshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view filshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
Feeding friends and family with the finest the island has to offer. The Forge Smokehouse and Grill Santon. Fresh Manx produce marinated, slowly cooked, grilled and smoked to perfection right here and served in a gorgeous setting. Just walk in anytime, no booking needed. Parties, family gatherings and weddings, the perfect venue for any occasion. And don't forget our large marquee for any event. Visit theforge.im and see.
Weekend or workend, you're tuned to the Sunday Chill Out Show with Chris Pearson on Manx Radio.
Join me Sunday evenings from 7 for 2 hours of the most chilled out and relaxing new and classic tracks on Manx Radio's Sunday Chill Out Show.
Chris Pearson on the Manx Radio Chill Out Show.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
26 minutes before one. I wasn't on the island last Friday when it was announced that the roads wouldn't reopen till 5:20, despite the closure notice stating no later than 4:30. I know that didn't actually happen, but I would have been very frustrated, says Harry, if I'd been waiting for the roads to reopen after a hard day's work. It's difficult enough for residents during TT without the rules appearing to change at short notice. People do live here and put up with a great deal of disruption. I agree with Stella, says Sue. The care of residents shouldn't be compromised in favour of the bike racing during TT. David's with us now. Hello, David. We're trying to find... he's not on Blighted Line 2, is he, again? Julian's with us, and hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Yeah, just out of interest, this thing with the sidecars, it's almost 6 weeks to the Southern 100, isn't it?
It's a wee while, yes. They're on start of July, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's like 750 hours of potential hours that they could be fixing the problem. So... I don't know. I mean, am I being unreasonable in thinking that 6 weeks would perhaps be spent doing that and maybe have a... If people can come up with a solution to this, either with the weight, like somebody said, or exploring what if there's been any modifications to the under tray, you'd think 6 weeks would be enough to remedy the situation and let the Southern 100 run with sidecars. I don't know.
Mm.
Just what Adam was saying... the sunken gardens, there's in relation to not doing this stuff, is to do with the sea defence bit and rising sea levels or something, isn't it?
Well, the council has spoken to DOI. It's about the coastal defence infrastructure. They've revealed that the proposals to revamp the seafront gardens have gone by, as well as to progress the design of a modern flood prevention scheme, apparently, for marine gardens. So it's all been put on the back burner. I mean, that playground's been gone for years now.
Yeah, but I mean, the proviso of this is also kind of tied in with with this push to have this, what I term a horrible seawall by the war memorial, continuing all the way along the prom. I've just sent you an email, Andy. I'm just wondering, since this photo on the iMuseum page, which is titled Strand Street Flooded by the Rough Sea in Douglas, 24th of February, 1925, you'll see there's a photograph of an old car that's creating a bow wave as it tries to get down the sea flooding on Strand Street.
Right.
So, has that happened since? I wonder if Charles Gard might be able to comment on this. Because if you were having the sea coming over the prom and into Strand Street to the point that it looks like it's about a foot high at least, and it's never happened since, that's kind of an interesting... if they're saying there's rising sea level, why has this not happened since 1925, which is, what, 101 years ago?
Indeed.
Can you see the picture of it?
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, February,
bad,
February the 24th, 1925. And obviously, but I mean, I don't speak for Devon Watson, but I would imagine he's taken advice. And obviously, this is something that they feel they need to do. I mean, not many people like that solid sea wall that's going from the... from the War Memorial up to, what is it, Castle Mona Avenue. Nobody really likes that because it's taken the view away, but they seem to think it's necessary.
Oh, yeah, but Adam, very eloquently, was talking about the flows and the stones.
Yeah.
And wasn't it Wilf? Wilf was very vocal about getting a digger on the beach and just get the seawall back to how it was designed.
Well, it's going to cost money. Let's face it, ever since they put the battery pier in, the wave dynamic has changed in Douglas Bay. And what used to, as Wilf, I remember, said, that the tide used to come in and swirl it round the whole bay. Now, because of the battery pier, which was put in, the stabbits were put in to calm down the harbour, and it's done that. But the trouble is, the unintended consequences now that in Lock Promenade the beach is getting lower, and in Central Promenade it's getting higher. It's going to be as high as the Palace Hotel soon.
Yeah, so this is obviously not rising sea levels then, if you've got an unequal amount of sea around the place and it's having to sort of self-fill itself in.
Yeah.
So I don't know, this you know, it's costing an inordinate... I mean, how much was that seawall? It was literally £1 million, wasn't it?
Well, I think the other point that they say is to do... I mean, first of all, they're always very reticent talking about the groins. The groins kind of just went, but putting the groins back would help with that, with retaining sand. However, it'll cost money. Putting a digger onto the beach every day and taking an enormous amount of sand away will cost money. It all costs money. And obviously, they're obviously reticent to commit themselves to an enormous budget like that, not even knowing what the outcome's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if they dug it down properly, I wonder if that would be... I mean, if you haven't got the groins in, I wonder whether it would be every 6 months or a year or a couple of years, because you'd have to dig down quite a bit. I mean, if you look at the steps, I mean, I would imagine there's quite a few steps underneath all those pebbles.
Oh, crikey,
now.
Yeah. I mean, they used to... I think it was 10 or 12 steps down to the beach from places like the Savoy.
Yeah, I remember as a kid going down those steps. No way. I mean, it's almost like you could have an underground building under there now and you'd never know about it with the distance down to the bottom step.
Yeah.
It'd be kind of interesting to dig down and see how many steps should be, unless somebody can glean that from an old photograph on iMuseum and work out how many steps there are now and what the difference is. Must be quite a few feet, I would have thought.
Well, it's all down to money, but the fact is, and Adam pointed this out, there's nowhere on Douglas Promenade for toddlers to play, and there used to be a very useful and very well used toddler playground on Douglas Promenade, and it's not been there for years.
I know. And, you know, the other side of this is all the pride of stuff, you know, like, for example, on Manx Nostalgia, and also if you look on iMuseum and just put in Loch Promenade, Sunken Gardens, I mean, the fantastic three legs that was put in different colours with the flowers. And, you know, there was somebody took a photograph, I think, from one end looking back, and it was absolutely magnificent. And you look now, and it's basically straggly weeds, you know, a bit like what the purported new horse tram route will be. It's just been left to kind of overgrow, and it just looks a bit sad now, doesn't it?
Well, and I'm guessing that the politicians and also the senior civil servants will take a view that there'll be a proportion of the population that doesn't care less about it. Presumably, they think that the majority of people don't care about the horse trams or don't care about this. And they think maybe it's just a vocal minority who moan about it. Otherwise, they'd have done the horse trams years ago.
Yeah, and now we've got a shortage of flagpoles so that we can fly the flag over the airport and various places. I don't know. It all needs to be rethought about, I think. It's pride in your island, and I don't know. It's just I don't know. Look at the roads. I mean, you know, what has improved actually? What has improved, Andy?
Okay. All right, Julian. Thanks for calling today. Cheers.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
18 minutes to one. I think we found David now. Hi, David. Do you know, I don't think we have found David. Is something happening with his phone? David, where are you? I love
to drive. Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Man In Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Man In Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Man In Motors.
At Conister Bank, putting our customers at the centre of what we do has always mattered. That's why we've refurbished our Victoria Street offices, creating an improved environment for both our team and our customers. And we're delighted to welcome you back to our ground floor banking hall on Victoria Street. By expanding our customer area and refreshing the layout, we can offer you more space, greater privacy, and a more comfortable welcoming experience every time you visit. We look forward to welcoming you back. Conister Bank, celebrating over 90 years of trust.
Bigger jackpots, more prizes, more chances to win. There's never been a better time to play the Hospice Lottery. We've now doubled the number of guaranteed monthly cash prizes to over 100, which means you now have the best ever odds for winning prizes. Plus, our monthly rollover jackpots build up to an incredible £10,000. Tickets are just £5, so don't miss out and help a great local cause too. Visit hospice.org.im now.
Players must be over 16. Terms and conditions apply.
Elevate Rubber Cover from Rubber Roof Shop for one-piece flat roofing systems. No joins, no leaks. We also line commercial box gutters in one piece up to 60 metres with a 20-year written warranty against leakage. Call Rubber Roof Shop on 49667.
The countdown to the 2026 general election is officially on. On Thursday, the 24th of September, you'll get to have your say on who should represent you in the House of Keys for the next 5 years. But what are the things you really want to know from your candidates? How they feel about wind farms, what they do to improve healthcare, or how they plan to tackle government efficiency? Whatever it is, if you have a burning question for those standing, we want to hear from you. You can find out how and everything else you need to know about the upcoming election on our dedicated election website. Just head to manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
I think we found David. Hi, David.
Hi, Andy. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, thank you.
Lovely. Adam was on earlier there. What a breath of fresh air he is. And I was just going to say, this morning I looked at the Facebook site, and up and behold comes Douglas Corporation. Douglas North is looking for a councillor. So could I say, suggest to Adam, you just have to be on a voters list anywhere around the Isle of Man. Now we know you can be a councillor in one area and then a commissioner in another, and nobody can bounce you back. So there's an ideal opportunity, if Adam's listening now, to say to him this: all you need to do is get the paperwork from Douglas Council, get it filled in, and if he's struggling, give me a ring.
Okay,
all right?
All right. Okay.
Because what it is, we need people who are interested, who have got fresh thoughts, and have wanted to progress things in the Isle of Man, don't we?
Well, we certainly need to do something, don't we?
Yeah, and the same thing happens at the national election too, but we've got to wait till September.
Okay. All right.
See you, boy. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too as well. You only have to look at the prior photos of Douglas Beach, says John, with the groins and the magnificent sandy beach, says John, below the seawall without mountains of stones, to understand the reasons for the deterioration of the beach. I agree with the caller who said that the TT's becoming too commercial, says Jules. There seem to be more restrictions, more charges, more places where people are expected to pay. Even parking at the Gooseneck comes with a charge now. Never used to feel like this. It can seem as though the heart is being taken out of the TT experience, says Jules. One of the reports yesterday says, Pete, you referred to the sidecars as being prototype outfits. Are some of the sidecars really prototypes? I agree with Stella, says Sue. Residents' care shouldn't be compromised in favour of bike riders during TT. And I agree with the lady who spoke earlier. In my experience, healthcare services aren't what they used to be. People often feel like numbers rather than individuals, and that can be upsetting, especially when dealing with difficult circumstances. I feel sorry for that lady who shared her experience. I've got huge sympathy for Stella, says this TT fan. However, on the point about TT riders taking priority, that is triage in action. If somebody has life-threatening injuries or is assessed as being in greater need of urgent treatment, they'll be treated first regardless of who they are. As for whether locals should be prioritised because they pay taxes, it's also worth considering the economic contribution that TT visitors make to the island. Is the skate park still going ahead on the promenade, says this text. I don't think it is. Just to clarify a recent statement from the leader of the Douglas Council, we believe this application reflects the rich history and heritage of Douglas Bay and the wider capital, respecting its historical integrity, while also looking forward and reflecting the changing needs of local people and visitors to the Isle of Man. James said, we also have a responsibility to ensure public money is invested wisely and sustainably for the benefit of residents and visitors alike. Investing in infrastructure only for it to be destroyed and rebuilt every few years is not fair on the ratepayers. The Department of Infrastructure has now said it will meet with council representatives after TT. Well, this is the story about this the Marine Gardens on Douglas Promenade. The council revealed proposals to revamp three of the seafront gardens, as well as progressing the design stage of a modern flood protection scheme for Marine Gardens as part of this wider prom regeneration project. But following further engagement about coastal defence infrastructure, the council has been advised that the DOI currently has no plans to extend continuous sea defences along the full length of the prom, so we can continue to have the view. Given the increasing frequency and severity of coastal weather events, together with the known vulnerability of the sunken gardens to easterly winds, high tides and storm conditions, Douglas Council believes it will be premature and financially irresponsible to proceed with significant redevelopment works without certainty around long-term protection from the sea. Now, the original marine gardens were built in the early 1930s and were intentionally designed below promenade level to provide shelter from coastal winds. It was effective, but this design now leaves the gardens increasingly exposed to flooding and wave damage. Risks are expected to intensify as Douglas Council say weather patterns continue to change. So it's not happening. Douglas needs a play area for children, says Mary, and somewhere for parents to sit together. The school holidays are long and not everybody can afford attractions like a fun fair. Sometimes it's all that's needed is a few swings, a slide, and a safe place for children to play. Hence why Nobles Park is so popular. Nobles Park has got a great offering for people with children to sit and play, and for parents, grandparents, friends and relatives to chat. And there isn't one on the prom. And there used to be one on the prom. And surely that's not going to cost a fortune to put something like that back. You would think anyway. I'm a marshal at Greba Castle, says Ronnie, and was speaking to a couple of visitors between sessions yesterday, just as the cancellation of the evening event was announced. They told me they were leaving. I asked if they meant they were cutting short their day, but they replied they were heading home because the weather forecast looked poor. They also said they could reclaim some of their annual leave when they returned to the UK. Mary said, if the air quality on the Isle of Man is good, it's surprising that lung cancer is such a major health issue on the Isle of Man. Well, that may be to do with smoking. That was the story yesterday. Our air is 40% better than the air in Britain. Not surprising, really, is it? Sweet as the mountain air and all that. Hello, Mrs. C in Ramsey. The roundabout by the bus station as you come off the boat is an absolute disgrace. The paintwork looks tired. Weeds are growing all over it. A couple of hours' work would tidy it up and make a real difference to the first impression that visitors get of the Isle of Man. Well, that's interesting, because what Frank Schwenger was talking about is putting things like that in the hands of private enterprise. Because the hoteliers and the boarding house owners, when they had visitors, used to make sure that everything was spick and span. And it had to be spick and span because their living depended on it. The moment you put things back into the government or into central ownership, if nobody is responsible, I mean a named person, and if there's no sanction for failure, then surely isn't it inevitable that things will go downhill?
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682-631.
Regarding the proposed methane gas plant in the north, should there be another one in the south, perhaps near Regaby? It will be interesting to hear other views on that, says the texter. This is the proposal for Andrus Airfield. We wouldn't need so many immigrants if the government reduced the size of its workforce. It seems to be inviting people to fill jobs that others are unwilling to do while the public sector continues to grow. When you say other people are unwilling to do, texter 505, which jobs are people unwilling to do? You only have to look at older photographs of Douglas Beach with the groins of the magnificent sandy beach below the seawall. Yes, we got that. Let's get to Derek's with us now. Hi, Derek.
How you doing?
Good, yeah. What's on your mind?
Just ringing to say, to pay compliment to a good local lad and a stunning guitarist, Davy Knowles Band at the Gaiety last night. It was played to an absolutely crammed audience, and he was totally brilliant, singing the praises of the Isle of Man from the beginning of the act until the end of it. It was unbelievable.
Fantastic. Was it a full house?
Absolutely crammed. Absolutely crammed. And he did at one stage ask how many people were visitors and how many were local. And the amount of local people were way above the amount of visitors.
Wow. Good. All right. Well, Derek, we're more than happy to put that on record. Well done to...
Have you never heard his band?
Yeah, I think so. He's always been a well-known act on the island, hasn't he?
Oh, he's terrific. Absolutely terrific.
Good.
So just to pay compliment to him and all the people that were there, they all thoroughly enjoyed it. It was plain to see.
Okay. All right, Derek, good to hear from you. Thanks for calling today. And Texter 109 tells me the new section of seawall on Douglas Prom cost around £950,000. Did it really? For less than 500 metres. That works out approximately £2,000 per metre for poured concrete. And Texter 762, in my view, around £1 million has been spent on a seawall that's already showing signs of damage. Extending it further would simply mean spending even more public money. Well, we don't know, do we? We just don't know what the situation is with Central Promenade. Well, we do know. We know the fact that the shore, the sand, is getting higher and higher and higher. But the fact is that that concrete wall is now where it is. So what are they going to do? Wait until the beach gets halfway up the concrete wall? And what then? Extend it? We don't really know what the future is for Douglas Beach, whether or not if we spend millions, and it will be millions of pounds, in digging it all out and throwing it back into the sea and seeing what happens, because we can't take the Stabbits away. The Stabbits protect Douglas Harbour. And it's the Stabbits that have done it, that have changed the dynamic, and now we've got too much sand at one end and not enough at the other, whereas we used to have everything everywhere. It was a gorgeous beach. Government should step away from being involved in the setup and organisation of the TT. If it wishes to support the event through insurance arrangement, that's one thing. But beyond that, it should leave the organisation to others, says Andrea. Since government became more involved in running the event, I feel it's lost some of its character and some of its appeal. Government, says Andrea, get out of the way. We didn't get to these vehicles that dry the road. We'll do that next week. There's no Man in Line tomorrow because it's a bank holiday, senior race day bank holiday. So Man in Line is back on Monday. And remember, if you want to get in touch out of hours, you email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682 631. Is Peel Day still on? Says this WhatsApp. Yes, it is. It's all happening in Peel today. Go west, young man. The weather's getting better as the day goes on. Looks like the red arrows are happening tonight. So if you're Onkenhead, Douglas Prom, Douglas Head, it's all going to be happening. Be patient. And thanks to Chris on the phones today. Have a fantastic bank holiday weekend. WINT.